Readers Entertainment presents Book Lights, where we are shining the light on good books.
Good evening. This is Deborah, your host of Book Lights. And as you can tell, I'm coming back from a little bit of laryngitis, but I'm happy to be back with the show. And I'm looking forward to tonight's show. Tonight we are shining a light on Lydia Michaels. Lydia Michaels is the award-winning author of 23 romance novels. Her novels from the darkly compelling Surrender trilogy were iBooks bestsellers, and her work has been featured in USA Today. In 2015, she was the winner of the Best of Bucks Award, and she has been nominated as Best Author in the Happenings magazine 2 years running. She is a four-time nominee for the Roni Award. And tonight I have Lydia on the line here live to chat with us tonight. Welcome, Lydia.
Thank you for having me, Deborah.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm very excited to be able to interview you here tonight. I enjoyed your book. Let me say that first of all. And I've been really looking forward to this. Now, Livy in Rose is categorized as women's fiction, and so it's different from your contemporary romances. What drew you to write this story? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
With Livy in Rose, it started out traditionally contemporary romance, and it kind of just twisted on its own. Typically, I plan my characters and I plan what their conflict is, if there's an internal one, an external one, and then I kind of just let them work the story out themselves. And this one took a turn that I wasn't expecting, but it did start out as traditional contemporary romance, and by the time it was done, I felt like it had to be categorized under both genres, women's fiction and contemporary romance. So it's a little bit of a debate there, but I think it falls into both.
The title is fascinating to me. There's a famous song, La Vie en Rose, and I wondered if the song was part of the creation process for your book, and also if you listen to music when you write.
I do listen to music. La Vie en Rose was very much inspired by, I think, the Pandora station that we had on for the majority of me writing that book was the Mumford & Sons station. So they played a lot of great music. And one of the songs was a version of La Vie en Rose. It was by a girl named Daniela Andrea, and I love her version. I had never heard that version before. I always loved the Edith Piasco one and Louis Armstrong. Another song that really stuck with me through La Vie en Rose was Just Breathe by Pearl Jam. It's kind of like an anthem for Riley and Emma. And Mad World by Gary Jules, definitely kind of a theme for me with that book.
It's a beautiful song, and the title, I love the title. So one of the things that, I'm going to jump ahead a minute here. One of the things that is threaded throughout your book is the color pink. And, of course, that would begin with the title. And it's universally recognized as the color in the fight for cure for cancer, and the pink ribbon, everyone knows what that means. Can you tell us a little bit about the theme of pink in your book and also the way your heroine reacts to the color pink and how that changes throughout the story?
Sure. Yeah. Well, when I first started writing La Vie en Rose, it was supposed to be, the inner conflict was supposed to be about the pressure that women feel to be enough. That's important to know, and it's something that the readers have definitely picked up on still, even though the theme kind of evolved as I went with it. You know, there's a lot of standards by society's views with the media and everything that put a lot of pressure on women to be perfect and, you know, match this small size airbrush picture we see in magazines and billboards. And when the twist came with La Vie en Rose bringing cancer into the book, it kind of shocked me. I typed out you know, this scene, and I sat back, and I knew I opened a can of worms, and I knew that I could hit the delete button and put the book right back into a nice manageable zone that was traditional romance. But a couple of things occurred to me. First thing was that romance is about escapism. It also occurred to me that romance should relate to the readers. Characters should be relatable. And my demographic of readers is overwhelmingly female. So in that moment, I thought, well, they say that 1 out of 8 women, you know, are confronted with some sort of breast cancer, whether it's, you know, they find something and it turns out to be nothing or it turns out to be something. And I thought, if that were me, which I have been in that position before with, you know, and everything was fine, but, you know, a lot of women go through that. And, you know, in that moment you think, let me just hit delete and go back to yesterday, but that's not the way life works. And I really do pride myself on trying to introduce real situations into fictional stories, because I think that we learn something from fiction to some degree. So I wanted to write a story about not a traditionally beautiful protagonist, but someone who's a little insecure and a little frightened, but beautifully brave despite their insecurities and fear. And that's what I think makes the journey worth reading. Now, if you go into the whole story of Pink, which the book is subtitled Life in Pink, when with Pink, Emma definitely goes through an evolution of her feelings on the color. First of all, she's a very girly girl, and pink has always been her favorite color. But the moment that that color begins to summarize her total existence, she starts to resent the color. And she describes her world as suddenly being washed out in taffy shades of punch. And as she battles this battle, I mean, she watches these parades and walks go by and sees it as a party of solidarity that she's a little too weak to be a part of at the moment. And during her darkest hours, she feels almost pressured to, quote, be pink. And there's nothing rosy about her fear or anger. And there's an interesting evolution of her opinion of the color throughout the book. And as soft as the color pink is, I came to feel that it really represents strength. And it's not the color of a disease, but it's the feeling of hope. And she kind of comes full circle to realize that. And, you know, pink is, it represents everything female, everything feminine about us, from the sash that they tie on our cigars the day we were born. You know, when dads are handed out cigars, they come with little pink ribbons. And I don't know if people still do that, but, you know, down to the color they put on our cheeks when we die. It's, pink represents feminine. And there's so many shades to the, I mean, there may be 50 shades of gray, but I'll tell you, there's 1,000,001 shades of pink. And I think each one represents beauty and hope of every single woman out there, because every single woman, no matter what shape, size they're in, they are enough and they are beautiful. And that was the big message that I wanted to get across to my readers with this story.
I think that message does shine through, and the message that we're not alone. When, you know, the pink's also the unifier of that symbol, and several of the characters in the book, it's not just a story about love. It's a story about friendship and support and when we can be there for each other. And when we share our struggles, we can let others know that it's okay to share theirs, and that's a unifier. So that's the unifying part of the book, which I really enjoyed. So many of us have had our lives touched by cancer in one way or another, whether it's, you know, a family member or a friend. And in my own family, my grandmother had a complete mastectomy, and my mother is a breast cancer survivor. So there were a lot of moments in the book that really struck home with me and allows the reader who has not actually experienced going through breast cancer treatments a chance to step into Emma's point of view and experience it through Emma, so that we can relate more to people who are actually realistically experiencing it. And I think that's a beautiful part of this book. So I just wanted to say that real quick. You depicted Emma's battle with cancer so realistically. What type of research did you do for the book?
Well, my research and I am very sorry to hear about your grandmother. Very sorry. It's overwhelmingly just, I find it hard to still even express my condolences when I hear that, because the research really did submerge me in this world that I kind of was not oblivious to, but I, you know, cancer is one of those things that it's easy to look away from if it's not in the face.
Right.
When I started my research, I spent weeks trying to understand the basics of breast cancer. But I don't write textbooks. I write stories about human nature and life. So I wanted to focus on the psychological impact. And I'm still unsure if I wrote Riley's book or Anna's, because there's two very different stories happening at the same time in Libby and Rose. One's being told from the inside and one's being told from the outside looking in. And I think when you truly love someone and they're in danger, it's in our nature to try to barter. We wish that we could take their anguish because it's that painful to watch someone we love suffer. And my heart goes out
right.
to every caregiver out there who unconditionally loves someone and puts themselves on the front lines. It's a battle, and it's not a pretty battle, and it's something that, you know, so many people face in this world, and it's heartbreaking. And these people were the ones that I wanted to learn from. I didn't want to write a book about statistics. I wanted to write a book about people and the human heart
yeah.
and love. And I wanted the intimate knowledge that only these people could give me. And I wanted to talk to them about things that most people, you know, cancer is a word that a lot of people won't even whisper. And I shifted my research to personal blogs and vlogs, and it was life-altering research. I wasn't reading about statistics anymore. I was reading about people's lives, mothers, daughters, sisters, wives. And I think on some level I fell in love with every single woman's story that I read, because I fell in love with those women, because it came to a point where I couldn't bear a single doubt once I got to know them through their stories. They were that personal. And my research shifted again towards the end because Livia Rose talks a lot about being proactive. And a big amount of my research turned into the, you know, toxins in seeds and homes and waters and things like that, and things that can be choices we can make to make our lives safer. And I think that that was my small dose of awareness that I could put in between the lines.
I love the way that the hero stood by her. And because the story started out with, they, you know, fallen in love, and they had all that beginning love, that heady, oh, it's so wonderful. And then suddenly the big boom came. And at that point in the story, I was thinking, will he stick? You know, because the guy doesn't always stick when the woman gets breast cancer, even when they've been around a long time.
Riley is a very ungrounded soul in the beginning of this book. You know, he kind of, he doesn't have a 10-year plan. He doesn't even have a 10-day plan.
Yes. Yes. Okay, I want to make sure we get a few things in before we run out of time. And one is your website, where readers can find you.
Okay, my website is lydiamichaelsbooks.com. And there's everything on there.
Are your books available also in audio?
Yes, Livian Rose's Simple Man also is available in audio. I'm in the process of getting them all turned over into audio. Livian Rose is narrated by a very talented man. His name is Brian Callanan, and he's an Emmy-winning two-decade veteran broadcast. He's definitely worth listening to. It takes my breath away, the way that he narrates.
Wonderful. And where can readers find you next?
we have a few surprises coming this summer. And my next romance is part of my darker romance line from Penguin Random House, and that's called Protégé, and it's part of the Master's Creed novels. And that's going to be, like I said, a little bit darker than the Livian Rose and Simple Man and, you know, my other books. Some of them are light, some of them are dark, but that's going to be a lot of fun, especially for my Surrender Trilogy fans. I think that they've been waiting long enough for another good
Lydia, thank you so much. We are out of time. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me, Deborah. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for joining us on Book Lights. Be sure to connect with us at readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.